Log Talk Radio.
The year is 2020, the number. Another summer gets down. Learn another fucking drummer. You can get in a hard call, but now you got soul.
The information age got him seeing what's really wrong with these racist days. I honor the strong and pity the weak. Your thoughts run your life, be careful what you think. 80 beat France in century 17. Salute to start and gasoline. And I do love France, know what I mean? It's a system, and nobody's agreeing. They say it's side with swinging. Cowards are hunting black men, that's what I'm seeing. Have been burnt down, and once Central Park was a thriving black town. Yo, Chuck, I'm fighting the power right now, thanks to you, Flavor, P.E., putting it down, putting your life on the line so I can rap now. The next generation still singing, fight the power.
Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power.
Policing their reins, ignite over the law. Wanna give a short pitch, but we really need a long. To the boys in the hood, that's a bullet and baton. For boys in the hood, triple K on the arm. Four fingers on my palm, screaming fight, fight. Change the policy, defund my back of property. We love Black Panther, but not Fred Hampton. Word to the Howards and the Eddies and the Hamptons. They book us, won't book us, I'm book up. He watches St. George kill for 20. Think about it, that's 2,000 pennies. The value black life, the cost of going to Wendy's for a quarter burger, ended in murder. Fight for Brianna, made up a mother.
What's up, y'all? You know what time it is. That's Public Enemy. You know what time it is. That's, like I said, Public Enemy. That's Fight the Power 2021. I think that's a remix. That's Chuck and a whole lot of featured artists helping him out, getting down with it. I'm Citizen Eric, Citizen Payne. Really, more important, most importantly, I'm Kay's son. And this is Kay's Son and Friends. And with my friends, Wayne Gilman, the legendary historic newsman, and Byron Saunders, legendary historian, excuse me, getting the brothers mixed up a little bit. They are not interchangeable because both men are unique in their own right. I'm just talking, brothers, but you know what I'm saying. Both brothers bring their unique perspective and experience, wealth of experiences to the discussion that we have here, try to have here as often as possible. We used to do it with Mom, and now we are doing with each other. So, that's what I'm saying. We're going to be talking about what we missed out on in the last 2 weeks and what's happening today. I've noticed the vice president, she got COVID, but she got boosted, so she's all right, I would suppose. Really, the big thing for me is most recently, the whole Kevin McCarthy flipping back and forth thing. You know, they always get caught when they're talking on videotape, right? I mean, on audio tape. They always caught up in there. Let me see. I want to say it. I don't know whether it's AC or what it is, but they get caught out there doing the dumbest-ish, if you know what I'm saying, the Republicans. And, you know, the fact that a large number of their party wants to take it back to the good old days of America being a kind of a Jim Crow society, it's really deep. And even those guys were experiencing it. McCarthy and Scalise, who we know he shows up at Klan rallies. But to me, it just goes to show you that these people are the descendants of some of the people who kept America going backwards or kept it in the same place. These are people that are descendants of people who perpetuated white supremacy, want to continue to perpetuate it, and will do anything, clearly, to keep that. I'm just looking at some breaking news. New Jersey High Court rejects new congressional district maps. Well, I wonder what that means for our current situation. But anyway, we're dealing with people who are willing to do literally anything to stay in power and to keep the status quo of the racist system that America has had. Now, somehow, they're twisting McCarthy's words. I saw a little bit about, Tucker calling McCarthy a Democratic operative or whatever. All kind of crazy stuff. They just, whatever sticks, you know, whatever sticks, whatever they can make up, whatever they can fabricate. And it's such a, it's so despicable when you really think about it. When you really think how these people are willing to perpetuate hate, how they're willing to justify certain behaviors, how some of them are even siding with Putin. If you look at this war in Ukraine, some of them are trying to justify in some kind of crazy way Putin's actions. Remarkable. Remarkable. And they are still in contention to be leaders of this country. That's the crazy thing to me, because normally, I guess in a normal world or somewhere, individuals like that would just be written off, wouldn't they? Wouldn't Trump years ago have been, or he was written off years ago. Nobody took him that serious. But I guess we've come to the point where these people are starting to really, it's starting to come home to them that America is changing, that it's coming that diverse society. Because look at how they, this is how they reacted on January 6, 2021. And you know why that was? Because it was the indication of America changing to a predominantly diverse country, right? And what cemented that was, first, obviously, Obama getting elected made them lose their mind. But then when you have Joe Biden coming in and he's bringing a black vice president with him and things like that, I think that that was really the linchpin of that a lot of these people are clued into and know what they're trying to hold on to, which is why they continue to a certain number of them continue to follow what these terrorists say and continue to attempt to justify what they did. It's unbelievable, but it just goes to show you that these people, what their true intentions are. And the fact that you guys have these guys flip-flopping and, you know, I guess you have to play, well, I don't know. I was going to say, I guess you have to play a certain amount of politics if you're within either party, you know, meaning like McConnell saying and McCarthy saying what they said, that this guy should be gone and all that stuff and, you know, disagreeing with Trump and thinking that, you know, he's a drain on the party, but then to flip-flop and to go to grow with him. It's unbelievable. And to see these people, these individuals, like someone like Mark Meadows, who, I mean, I'm just looking at Joy here, but they've been talking about how it was a serious plot to overthrow the election. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You would they did a great job of keeping us thinking that America had become somewhat civilized and dignified and all of those things that America claimed about itself. You know, it was looking like that it was living up to those things, or looking like that was, at least on the surface, that was how America was. But those of us that are treated somewhat like second-class citizens, or get, I say somewhat because, you know, certain African-Americans don't catch as much hell as other African-Americans, depending on your economic, societal, economic position. You're going to catch hell regardless of who you are, but you might not catch as much hell. You don't live in a community where the gun violence is rampant. You might not have to worry about some of those things, those realities that some of our brothers and sisters do, you know. But it is really unbelievable when you think about all the hell we've caught over the course of history, to see these things come to pass and see them into fruition, you know. I'm going to bring the fellas in here. I'm also thinking about this this finding that about the Minnesota police, Minneapolis police. They've been all this. they treat black people differently. It's basically what they found out. But I mean, we've seen that. I mean, I don't know if they needed a report to determine that when you actually see them gunning down brothers like it's okay. Amir Locke, the most recent, that was in Minneapolis too, wasn't it? Of course, George Floyd, and I think there was somebody else in between. So, yeah, they had to do a study. And this is part of the bullshit that we go through. Let's put a study. Let's study it and do this and see why. We know, everybody knows why it is. Everybody knows why these people are reacting the way they want to react. Everybody knows why they're losing their mind over shit. At least everybody like us. And they know it too. It's their racism. It's the need to perpetuate their supremacy. Bottom line. Because there's no excuse for all the shit that goes on. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't individuals who use those opportunities for their own means, meaning those individuals that might not give a shit about politics or race, or they're just trying to get paid, and whatever turmoil they can start and instigate so they continue to get paid, they'll do it. But for the most part, there are a lot of these individuals that are walking around rich today that have gotten paid off backs of our people. I'm going to bring the fellas in here because that's how I need to be. Byron Saunders, the legendary historian. What's up, B? I'm waiting for your... There you go. It's kind of like you're connected.
Yes, indeed. It's always good to be on the air and having an opportunity to have this conversation. You know, I'm sitting right here in the seat of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., and my message to the rest of the nation is this. Three things to consider with respect to Mark Meadows and all the other stuff that's going on. Democrats, number one, stop negotiating with a known terrorist organization. And that organization is called the Republican Party. Now, think of that as your first point of view, because you see what's being rolled out, dramatic three-part series. We're in the business of entertainment, Eric. But let me just kind of break it down to you. When you think of the opportunity to have an insurrection, which is a coup d'etat, it failed. What does a coup d'etat really mean? A failed opportunity to overthrow a government. Now, it was done by what is going to be rolled out in a public display is the Trump crime syndicate. You see, it's being broken down into the objects of like FBI and NCS and all the crime cops shows on TV. So it's a very smart attitude by the committee, because let's be very honest about this. They failed twice to impeach this crime boss, the help of others who I've also committed treason because they're part of the crime syndicate. So just to go after Trump doesn't really make a lot of sense, because we want all of them, all 147. Notice today they actually started putting the names into the record. I've been trying to tell you all this to set you all up for the grandest television ratings in all television, because the public display of this is going to break it down to the least common denominator, so the most ignorant will understand in television terms how this is a crime scene. Okay, now what does that mean? Because see, each and every one of these capos, the crime family itself, the Republican Party, notice how they're all backtracking now, because I've been saying this to you, you can't do anything inside the Capitol or the White House and not have that conversation on tape. You're the most servile city in the world. We got 30-some police forces in Washington, D.C. that has only 450,000 people. You break it down. Now it comes to let's get all of them, because just going after one of them makes no sense. And they're all working together. I know there's an impatience with the justice system and the Merrick Garland and the FBI and the Justice Department, but they're all working in concert with Letitia, with D.C., with Virginia, with Atlanta, Georgia, with all of them are working in concert, because they know that they just cannot bring down one person. They have 147 people who committed treason, people. This is the reality. This is not a GameStop PlayStation game.
And meanwhile,
seriousness implied threat to our government. And the fact is that they must all be taken down. Because if they leave one standing, that's the rot of the apple that will continue to undemocratize our system, because it is not just a virus, it is a metastasized cancer.
You know, it's interesting.
And the only way to get rid of it is to eliminate it.
It's interesting the way you put it, all working in concert, all of these various different fronts, and New York, State Attorney General, the federal, and those things, hopefully they're all working together, because that's really what, like you said, it needs to be dismantled effectively, all of the pillars of these, of this criminal organization and the abuse of the system. And we have to attack it from all areas. That's the only way. And I think that's what they're rebelling about. That's why they're fighting extra hard, because it is being attacked from all areas. The country is changing in those ways. There are people who don't ascribe to what has been, despite the opposition to critical race theory, there are people that that are in America now, Caucasians, who don't ascribe to the racist reputation of America and the racist history of America, despite other people wanting to act as if teaching that history will somehow harm their children. It's interesting how people don't want history taught about the actions that had taken place before. And the only people that don't want the story told are usually people who have committed some sort of act to keep it in the dark. So, you know, the fact that you said that they're attacking it from all ends, it really has to be done that way, because to be effective and to destroy the system, it has to be dismantled from all sides, because we've saw what has happened when we've dismantled one leg or one aspect or whatever, and they rebuilt it and brought it back and resurrected it. So, yeah, it has to be dismantled from all sides, and in essence, what you said, burn it down, or at least have a fiery cleansing of all of the poisonous parts. Let's bring Wayne in here, because I know he's got some important input. Wayne Gilman, the legendary newsman. How you doing this evening, sir?
I guess, sir. I just listening to you two, and you know, dropping science, and I don't know what it's going to take to purge that party. I mean, it's in such a state of disarray. And the country has been largely affected by it because of what social media's impact has had on passing information and misinformation. And it just bothers me as we are trying to hold on to, when I say we, I'm speaking of us proud Democrats who are trying to keep the balance going for, you know, the time being. Hopefully things will level its way out, because, you know, with all due respect, and I know you say this all the time, Eric, Democratic Party does not really sell itself with respect to marketing its, you know, its product the way it should. I mean, you hear a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of pushback over the things that you hear, but, you know, this administration hitting the ground running with all of the ills of that particular time coming out of the previous administration, the pandemic, you know, the economy's tanking. And
hey, Wayne, let me pause you right there, because isn't it ironic, the very point you're making with all of this, both of the last two Democratic administrations have had to deal with such bullshit left behind by their predecessors.
Exactly.
Obama from George Bush, and of course Joe Biden from Trump. Unbelievable, and how these people could spin it. But go ahead. I just wanted to throw that out. Go ahead. Finish making your point.
No, I concur. I mean, that's largely the problem. I was a guest on the show this past weekend, and this lady, and this is the thing too. I mean, I sort of browbeat, scolded the people who invited me, but you just can't bring everybody to your platform and you know, have them spew what they think is in their particular interest, even though that they're looking to seek our votes, you know, and when I say our people of color. There was this independent woman, her name is Diane Sarah, she's running to unseat Chuck Schumer here in New York in the U.S. Senate. And she's a disciple of Lyndon LaRouche, anybody who remembers him from back in the day. He ran eight times for the presidency. You know, this woman had the nerve to face me and say, well, you know, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden started the war in Ukraine. It has nothing to do with Vladimir Putin. And you know that you know, and the thing is, comes in smiling, and if you don't do the proper research, you know, you don't know what angle to attack these people when they come up with their nonsense. And long story short, it's that kind of element that gets on the air in various platforms, and people are listening, and you know, they'll come up with all sorts of dribble to make you feel, well, you know, maybe she has a point there. You know, you know, this didn't really happen the way the majority press has been painting it.
They're plants to be there to distract everybody from what's really going on.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. I had to tell my friends, I said, hey, listen, you know, you have to take a certain amount of responsibility, and you know, you just don't throw anybody on the breeze because they have a platform that they're trying to espouse to the public, because they're taking advantage of you. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. And then when I came out and said, well, you know, doing some research on her, that she tried to have Barack Obama impeached over the Affordable Care Act. And, I mean, that was it. You know, and people are looking at me, and I'm saying, hey, it's here in black and white. I'm reading it off my laptop. So getting back to your point about the confusion, and because I know I'm going around Robinson's barn, but the bottom line is, man, you know, we're in conflict. And the Republican Party, I mean, the Republicans that you spoke of, quite frankly, Scalise, McCarthy, Meadows, that group. I don't want to paint all, because there's some who understand what's going on here, and they are worthy of hearing what they have to say. That idiot and well, I don't like the name call, but I mean, this the nonsense that's going on in Florida. If I was living in a county, Orange County, I have friends, I don't know if they're in Orange County, but if somebody just all of a sudden flip-flopped my property taxes to the point where I could not afford to live in a place where I'm looking to retire in, because that particular individual has an issue about don't say gay and not seeing, you know, the big picture with regard to you know, teaching the critical race theory so young people could understand, you know what this country has been all about. It just defies logic. But yet you have these elements out here that are doing that, and I agree with what Byron said. They need to be exterminated, like, you know, raid on a roach. You know, it's despicable what goes on. And you know, you mentioned something at the top of the show. I thought it only applied to New York State, but I should not be in the least bit surprised that the Republican Party in New Jersey would try to see if they could throw out the whole redistricting success that the Democrats had there, because I guess what came down today in New Jersey also applied to New York today too. So everybody's primary is going to be pushed back a couple of months, and the Republicans are running around licking them their chops. They're probably all at South Beach in Staten Island, you know, having a luau or what have you.
Is that the result of the ruling today, that the primaries are going to be pushed back?
I know in New York, the thing is, if they're challenging the district, the redistricting maps that basically favored the Democratic districts, you know, then in that case, somebody's got to sit there as an ombudsman to redraw these maps.
But that would be
so
for the
that
next term. that would take effect for the next term once this is still the current.
From what I understood, it affected this term because the lawsuit was filed before, as soon as the census was done and the maps went in and they were approved, the Republican Party really found it, highly objectionable. I know I can only speak from what I remember here in New York, but I'm not surprised. The whole tri-state, this area, I mean, you have pockets of Republican districts, but this is largely a blue state area, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York. Anything that goes on down here applies to over there, and Connecticut, too, to a lesser extent. But, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I was just going to say, the national trend that's going on, like with going on in Florida, in New Jersey, in New York, and all the other red versus blue and blue versus red states. Okay, we know the Confederacy is still fighting the Civil War, period. Now, fact is this. If he wants to take on Mickey Mouse, it shows you the intellectual, impaired political stance he's taking. Because a state that is fueled in generating income by way of tourist trade cannot sustain itself as it goes through foreclosure process. The state of Florida is one of the most foreclosed states in the nation with respect to its real estate property. Now, how do you continue to evaluate its value when you're going to piss off your biggest trade
money maker? Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So that's just intellectual ignorance.
Who's really the ignorant ones, though? Is it
Hold on,
B. Is it him or is it the people that elected him? That's what I just wanted to
throw out. It's him and the people that elected him because, see, they think they're the majority. But I keep trying to say a state cannot continue to run on a bankrupt concept of financial solvency. I'm not talking about the idea of Disney. I'm talking about economic revenue.
Why would you piss off? Why would you piss off one of the revenue drivers in the state? Of course, it's crazy.
Now,
that's what I'm saying. That's why I throw out that the people that elected him must not be automatically right. So that's what I'm talking about.
However, there is a silver lining in that concept because part of our economic problem in this country is that we have given away its tax base to corporate entity, setting it up to be run by oligarch concepts of political persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I just said? Because at the point at which Disney was given a tax-free zone, you know how much properties they own in Florida?
Right.
This is the part that becomes, maybe DeSantis is not all wrong, and yes, but in content, like the woman that came in, who you were having a conversation with, at some point, Wayne, because when you know the truth, the rebuttal to an ignorant comment that she made is, when you're ready to have an intellectual conversation based on fact, let's have that conversation. In the meantime, I have no time for your silliness. In her box.
And I agree.
Silliness.
Right.
It is silliness. But I don't want to beat up on the people who I'm trying to, work with. But if you haven't had the experience. Huh?
It's not about beating up on people. When you know truth, handle it like it is nothing.
Right, but I think it's bigger than the people. Well, it's just as equally big than the people who actually know the truth. Is we have to get to the people that are either ignorant of the truth or the people that they are misleading by telling them that. I mean, because there's clearly a sickness and a cult-like. That's what I was talking about. It's cult-like. because these people are working, A, when they're not really thinking clearly, because if they did, and oftentimes these people that they're supporting are making moves that are detrimental to the people that are supporting them, right? So, of course,
right.
We all sit there and say, DeSantis is crazy. Why would you piss off Disney? Disney has brought your state so much wealth over the last however many 50, 60, 70 years. Why would you do that? But why does he do all of this stuff? Why do these idiots do whatever? Because they have unaware, and maybe people who just don't care because they're driven by their hatred. But to me, it's just their hatred does not allow them to grow and to learn and to really look at the facts clearly. They're clouded by all of the evil that is running through their body, and they're emotional. It's like you get emotional, you can't think straight, right? Because if you're able to think straight and assess the facts, then clearly you might come up with a different conclusion. Now, we know there's those who choose to twist the facts and use it to their advantage, like the Tucker Carlsons and all these people who bullshit the populace on their side.
Isn't it ironic when they're talking about critical race theory? It's always, to me, it's like your conversation is based in theory, theoretical
mm-hmm.
theory. You have
right.
no, you see what I'm saying? Because it is not grabbing. I can understand if you're going to do the scientific STEM concept and approach to deduction, simple deduction. I get that.
Right.
But when you're going to argue something that you have no information about, then you can only argue based on a theoretical concept when it's the truth is
when
what we're requesting. Critical race truth. Don't give me theory. Tell me why you
the
not
truth.
Teach me about Ruby Smith, an activist born in 1942 who is an African-American civil rights activist. Tell me why you're not teaching me about her. Explain
right.
to me why your theory does not have empirical evidence of damaging
so,
I'm not
quite clear. Hey, Byron, let me interrupt your rant
yes.
for a minute. So what are you taking issue with? The fact that it's called critical race
theory?
I'm taking issue with
the fact that their ignorance about their ignorance.
About what it is
that they have met about a lot of things, and they're perpetuating more ignorance because they're basically basing it in theoretical bullshit.
So you're saying that the people that are protesting it are ignorant to the fact are not. Is that what you have an issue, or you have an issue with the people that are presenting critical race theory and couching it as theory? That's what I'm a little confused about your point at this point.
No, I'm not confused about the fact that if you want to talk theoretical, fine. Let's talk about the theory of why race is out of sync with the rest of your democratic concept. Now, that's theoretical. But if you're going to talk about your understanding the people and the culture, then you have to deal with the...
So you're talking from the perspective of the people that are protesting.
You don't want to know my history. You don't
right.
want to know anything about me. As long as it's subservient to you, then you're okay with that.
Right, right. So they don't have a concept with the critical race theory. They have a problem with the truth. Excuse me. They don't have a problem with the critical
right.
race theory. They have a problem with the truth being taught, which...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, saying critical race theory is one thing, but the theory is predicated on factual information. It's part of the curriculum that they presented as a theory, so it could be up for discussion. But, I mean, everything that's presented in these courses, especially the institutions on the college level that are teaching critical race theory, it's steeped in fact, you know. The problem is they want to keep the vacuum going. They want it to grow. They want another generation of American kids not to know what went on here, and that's it. You know, it's the sad part about it is that we're in the age of information right now. If
exactly.
anything, I think we really, really owe it to ourselves, and this has nothing to do with race. But just as a society, I mean, when you turn on the boob tube and you see in real time, you know, basically what I could only imagine what my father went through when he was in Normandy, you know, what your parents probably went through when they were, you know, those who were enlisted and fighting. I mean, it just blows me away how, you know, we're basically in a very, very tenuous situation, and we should not be fooling around with democracy at this point. We should not be entertaining theories of other people from other cultures who don't wish to see the change. You know, I mean, and that to me is our biggest threat here. It's one thing to see what goes on overseas, but that could come right here. You know, all those people that stormed the Capitol on January 6th, to me, were people who were misinformed for the most part and buy into a theory, if you will, that was promoted by the opposing party that felt, well, you know, if we say this, it's the whole Joseph Goebbels story. Say it long, loud and strong as many times, it becomes factual in the minds of the people who are believing it, you know, and it's unfortunate, you know. And it's, I really feel it's got to change, man.
Wayne, one of the things I find incredibly interesting living in Washington, D.C., like I said, I've been saying, a lot of people have no idea what goes on in D.C. and inside New York City. They think that they know what it's all about. The clueless part of it is when you don't understand the nature of power and the industry of power or the nature of money and financial ways money is handled globally, then you don't understand the concept of why these two end the world. Now, every 30 seconds, every 30 minutes, I get a news break telling me about what's going on around the world, not just to mention the stuff that's from Meadows and Felice and all the other crackpots in the Congress, but I'm getting all the news breaks all the time, and there is no break for anything else other than that. Well, we got the baseball team and the football team, and they're wrapped up in controversy all the time. Wow, we. But we're talking about all the time, so that understanding when, like, the stuff is going down right now, the message has to be owned by the Democrats. And what I am understanding is this. As long as they control the message of what went on January 6th, whether it's drip, 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 because the country is based in an entertainment mindset. We want to see the best show given on TV. Yeah, I want to see Will Slap, the Slap Over again. And you can talk about it all you want, but guess what? The ratings flew off the chart. So now we've got this story about to hit the public, and believe me, all the messages and all the conversations that you are now being given access to, I've been telling y'all for the last 5 years, they had this information.
Right.
How they deliver it to us is the method in which they must play it like it the MGM produced program of the century.
Well, you know, it's something, you, as you mentioned that, Byron, you know, you brought something to mind, and I was just in, you know, to invoke the memory of Kay Thompson. I remember in 1995 when the O.J. Simpson trial started and how people were riveted, how racially divisive this country was at that particular time. The back and forth between the conservative talk show hosts and, you know, people sniping on each other's ear and, you know, and some of the tropes that you'd hear, you know, driving into work. You know, when I look at what goes on here with this investigation into the insurrection, I just wonder if the audience, I mean, I, because of our nerdy background, you know, I'm inclined to put that on and watch it like as if I'm watching, you know, Johnny Cochran before the court there, you know, just to juxtapose the two. But I just wonder if the country is really, really paying attention with the wealth of information that is coming out now. And that's what gets to me, because, you know, these people need to be exposed.
They're going to get it, and here's the reason why they're going to get it, because they're finding out that the whole thing about the Ukraine is wrapped up in this whole thing that we're going through.
It is.
It's not separated. It is it's born of the same mentality in which our federal government engaged in what they called diplomacy, which was actually called extortion. They were trying to extort information from an independent democratic country called Ukraine on Hunter Biden, and was given the carrot of, you give us this information, whether it's going to be bogus or not, and we'll give you access to military weaponry, which you know, we know you need to combat Putin in Crimea.
Here's the thing. Let me add on to this. Here's the thing about it, though. And I also think now, when you stand back and look at it too, you can see Trump was trying to use Putin as, I guess, a mentor. Well, I guess he was trying to move. First, he was a stooge to Putin, right? Obviously, there's something Putin has on him. But also, he seemed like, when you look at it now, he's trying to make the United States in that oligarchic form of government, or even also a dictatorship, that he was willing to, you know, they were trying to get him to declare martial law, remember, so they could shut everything down. And so, he was seriously trying to make those moves towards moving the United States towards that type of a governmental structure, doing away with democracy. When we stand back and look at it now, you know, how those guys, the moves they were trying to make.
And thank God there's still some thinking, conscientious Republicans who saw that and witnessed it and figured, well, hey, I'm not voting for this. I don't want the confusion that was going on. The totally asinine, embarrassing platforms that Trump would put out, you know, on just about any given subject, particularly how he handled the whole COVID-19 crisis, the absurdity that was coming out of there, out of his mouth, you know? And you want to give this guy another 4 more years, you know, or even, you know, still refer to him as the leader of the opposing party? And you have these characters like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and all these other, idiots that, and again, I'm not into name calling, but they are who they are. They, you know, just the nonsense that just spews from their mouth is enough evidence to me that there's insanity there. You know, even Marjorie Gaetz did not even know she was Trump was trying to call for martial law. She didn't even know what that was about.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
It just sounded good to her.
That's the part that the nation is finding out just how ignorant these people are. And there's something to understand. Sheep are an ignorant animal. Sheep can be led anywhere by anybody who rips and wrangles something in front of them. Even a farmer will tell you that.
Right.
Okay?
So these sheep
that are being led by the GOP have bought into drinking the Kool-Aid.
I mean,
every time you look at it,
you see how ridiculous it is when they hold the light up to him. Obviously, when she was testifying in that case the other day, it just kept saying, "I don't know, I don't remember." These people feel, and they've worked their way around to feel that I think that they don't need to recognize the authority of the government when it doesn't fit their needs. And that's why they, this whole argument, this whole thing about America, we need to take America back, because, and they lied about Biden winning the election, you know, so they can feel that. I mean, because, you know, they're not going to admit what they did. They're not going to, I mean, and the way they get around it is that they try to claim that those institutions have no authority. They say they're corrupt now. They have no authority anymore. And so the actions that I'm going to undertake are justified because this is corrupt. It has no authority. So her coming to court and getting that very real dose of shit where she's hoping that, you know, she just is a wise-ass and assily, you know, in a wise-ass nature answering the questions, you know, And really, and like you said, B, they are really ignorant to the processes of things and how government and how, you know, a lot of these things work. And also they don't really care to know because it's not fitting what they need it to fit for them, right?
Yeah.
They don't really care that – they don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about any of that stuff they claim. If they did, they wouldn't shit on it when it doesn't work out for them.
And therein goes, you know, my point about, you know, the whole process and how I really feel that this should be televised, I mean, beyond C-SPAN. People should be riveted in their seats, you know, just going, because I knew what it felt, all of us knew what it felt like to watch it when it went down and sitting there in front of your TV saying, in disbelief, is this happening in our country? You know, because that's the first thing that came to my mind. I can't believe this is happening in the United States, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is the investigation into this should be something that should be on TV, you know, like as if it was the damn O.J. Simpson trial. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I guess there was no – it wasn't sexy enough. People lost their lives. You know, yeah, there were black people involved, but it had nothing to do with sex. It had nothing to do with relationships. So, therefore, its importance is not on the same measure as it would have been to attract attention. But to me, people need to see what's going on here, what has been going on here.
I think people are kind of fascinated. I think people were kind of paying attention to it. I don't know if you could really apply the salaciousness of the sex aspect. I mean, that's kind of the whole OJ thing with the Hollywood story and all that.
Right.
You know, this is I think it holds its own in terms of, you know, attracting people's attention. I think that it's, you want to attract their attention to want to seek out and listen to and be open to the facts that may be presented to them. You know,
well,
as opposed to taking
a
side in some sort of human drama, and you know that whole kind of gossipy drama shit that the OJ trial entailed.
Yeah, maybe that's a poor example, but I'm sorry, Byron.
One of the things that we can actually ascertain from what's going on over in Ukraine is this: we as a nation of what we call a democracy are watching in real time what can happen when a democracy is threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
It could not have happened at a better time because the denial of 1621 is to deny what you're seeing every night on the Ukraine and a destruction of a capital, a destruction of a city, because those same zombies that were climbing our Capitol wall that day on 1621 are the same people, Russians, who are attacking a democracy in Europe. And you cannot deny it because the link is the
same type of people, yeah.
Linked together, and white people in this country seeing it in the manner in which it's affecting their white people. Notice the conversation about the military, and this is something to pay attention to, gentlemen. The engagement of our Defense Department went from humanitarian diplomacy to now we got the Russians where we want them, back on their heels again. Let us finish the job. Notice the humanitarian discussions have completely left the conversations of those of the military, and that's our military-industrial complex flexing its muscle because that's where we put all our money.
Yeah, but also, I think in this scenario, too, don't you just think it's kind of a response to the aggression of Russia? I mean,
It has to be.
When you see that they're making the moves they want with it, they're trying to run roughshod and bully everybody, then yeah, you gotta kind of take that. I mean, when they threatening we're gonna nuclear war, it's like, yeah, well, we got to deal with this with these cats because they're trying to just run roughshod over everybody. They don't give a shit and can put things into, you know, and could destroy the whole world. And you know, you can't let that happen. So I could see the emphasis shifting in that light in this particular scenario. I mean, you know, I know we're always looking, that military industrial complex that we talk about is always looking for a reason But in this particular scenario, it seems to me that, that move is a little bit more justified than it might have been in other past circumstances.
Yeah,
no,
however,
I agree. You
however,
know,
guys, think about this, though. Yes, yeah, justifiable, but since that time, since the last projected amount of weapons sold in the United States for 300 million people, 350 million people, guess what? We have surpassed the 400 million arms in the United States alone that are owned by 3% of the population.
When you say,
you
when,
tell
you,
me
you talk, when you talk about arms, you talk about guns? Those
guns.
So you're talking, about different type, you're talking about different type of arms than would be in a war.
It doesn't matter.
You're talking
guns.
About
holding. What is the number one killer?
Oh, hold on, brother. I know you want to talk over everybody. It does matter because you're talking about domestic arms, which means we're going to be shooting at each other as opposed to Russia and United States. Well, then you're talking about a whole different. You know, you come from people in the military. That's a whole different level grade of weapon and a whole different level of war. As opposed to domestically. Yeah, you're laughing, but we're talking about ICBMs. You know, we're not talking about motherfuckers walking around with 9mm and shit like that, shooting each other in the streets.
Well, no, no.
We're talking about global, you know, consequences.
No, Eric.
Maybe you're making a different point. What's the point you're making?
I'm talking about the munitions in the armories that have allowed the police departments to get access to these high-tech weapons.
Right, different subject than Ukraine.
Small arm nuclear technical weapons.
Different subject
than
Ukraine.
That are in the country around us right now have some of those weapons in their
different
cache.
Subject than what's going on in Ukraine and Russia, right? I mean, I understand where you're going with that. That's domestic.
Ooh.
And while we're looking
scary.
Over there, we're going to worry about the domestic terrorists.
Ooh.
I'm right there with you. But that's unfortunate that we got to keep looking over there while we're looking over here too. You know, we got to use both eyes. Both eyes got
to
be.
And
working
now you
separately.
Want to know why Pookie is trying to hold you up and do a carjacking? It's not because we disconnect what goes on in Ukraine, thinking especially for those of us who don't have weapons, we disconnect ourselves from the reality of say that's not just Europe, that's everywhere. Microcosm. Chicago. Microcosm. The Bronx. Microcosm.
Well, what are you talking about? You're conflating the two, B. What are you talking about? You said that's not
there's
just
no
Europe, that's Chicago.
No,
are you talking about
no
the war between Russia and Ukraine?
Is.
And then you're equating that to domestic issues and crime going on in Chicago,
weapons,
United States? What are you talking about right now?
Well, I'm talking about the fact that we are offering more weapons to the Ukraine when the whole thing came down to the same extortion that was tried to brought to Ukraine 4 years ago when they were trying to extort them about information to persuade
them. Bro, that falls under the category of foreign policy, though, foreign policy issues.
Really?
And I sound like you were conflating domestic issues with foreign policy. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, you sound like you were saying them in Ukraine and what's going on in Chicago with cats – shooting each other every 5 minutes.
I mean, we're going to have to arm them. We got to arm them. We have no other choice but to arm them.
Yeah,
we
you're talking about the war. Right.
You're talking about the Ukrainians.
We're talking about the number of arms that are in our own communities. The proliferation is as a result of manufacturers gone wild. Like I said, 350 million people in this country.
Oh, you're saying printing.
400
you're saying manufacturing
in the hands
surplus
of Americans.
So you're saying
now,
using the war to manufacture a surplus of weapons that spill over into our domestic issues and affect our domestic issues. Is that what you're? Is that what
it
you mean by that?
And not conflating. You're absolutely right.
I'm just trying to follow the path you were taking because it seemed like it reached.
Well,
if you're saying that causes the military industrial complex to manufacture enough weapons and gives them even more those same businesses even more reason to make less. Oh, by the way, let's make a whole bunch of more extra handguns because business is good.
Yeah.
We can even sell arms to people domestically. I see what you're saying in terms of that, you know, but I thought you were talking about, you know,
Well, money is money, man. You know, I mean, that's the thing. And you know, I understand exactly what you're saying. I mean, and I tell you, the whole world is watching this, particularly. Mm-hmm. You know,
yes.
And one of the things that concern me the most is what China has quietly been doing, and people are just not really putting their finger on exactly the process of what they're seeking to do to have world control. But, you know, I just think it's so important that we just start focusing in on all those elements out there that could threaten us. I'm not saying that the Chinese government has that as part of their agenda now, but that's another autocratic society compared to what goes on in our democracy. They all want to make us, with what we're doing, the back and forth that we do, as a means of not the way to run a country. I'm so grateful that France, with all the influence that they're getting from people over here, you know, to act like, you know, a miniature Trump, you know, that they were able to have a peaceful, well, no, I wouldn't even say it was peaceful, had an election Sunday, and that the incumbent was able to maintain
right.
his post, and he's an advocate for democracy.
Right.
So, I think,
you know, it's just one of those things.
You raise a good question about China, but see, don't get distracted by what's happening in China, because Shanghai right now, population of almost 30 million people, is in a total lockdown.
Right.
With COVID.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
so
but they
yeah,
have,
so, I mean,
they
there
have the ability to fight that. I mean, Fauci today said that the United States, I was surprised he came out and said that publicly, we are no longer under the threat of the pandemic. But when I talk about
right.
China, I talk about how China has basically owns the Caribbean. You know, and that's something that you really, really got to look at. And on certain parts of South
sure.
America, that they're slowly closing in, you know, on. And I just wonder, you know, how are we going to address that at some point?
Good question. Very good question, Mr.
Yep.
Newsman. I got a Declaration of Independence and Freedom for Black People. I got to share this with you.
Good.
Here it is. It is the duty of all black people to accept themselves as they are and stop allowing others to continue to make us feel inferior. There is nothing wrong with our hair, skin, or any of our features. We are beautiful. So why should we have to compromise ourselves so that others may feel more comfortable around us when, in fact, no one is doing the same in return? We have to make society accept us by making ourselves more visible, not invisible. Declaration of Independence and Freedom.
Oh.
There you go. There
is
you
that
go.
An original? I mean, where did that come from?
Someone posted, I'm borrowing it, and that's my clothes for today, gentlemen.
There it is. Brother
Very
Byron,
good, Byron.
Hits us with
All right. I love
that.
You guys. Oh, thank you.
All right, Brother B. There it is. Yes, that's your sign off, bro. That's your last
that's
word.
That's my sign off for today.
All right, we'll talk to you again next week, next time. Wayne, can you top that?
Hey, man, I don't think I can, but I'm going to use Adam Clayton Powell's favorite line, keep the faith, baby. That's all we can do is keep the faith.
I'm with that right there, player. Keep the faith, baby. All right. The legendary newsman, Brother Wayne Gimel, to talk to you again. All right. Take care.
Okay.
So, you know, fellas, I don't know if you're still listening, but there's a lot of things we didn't get a chance to get to that we're going to have to pick up again next week or do another broadcast, because we didn't get a chance to talk about a number of issues going on in New York City with some of the gunplay and how Eric Adams is trying to clamp down on some of the activities there by some of the police officers. What he was talking about today, if you see a cop using a cell phone, report him or take a picture. And, of course, the PBA guy came out against that type of statement. He seems to be really into opposing everything that certain types of individuals say. I'll leave it there. This has been Kay's Son and Friends. I'm Kay's Son. Wayne Gilman, Byron Saunders are the friends, and we're going to be out of here. We're going back with Public Enemy. We'll talk to you again next week. Kay, son, and friends. My mom is on assignment, as usual, up there in the Pearly Gates. Talk to you again next week.